Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hollywood Improv Lab. Make some noise, you guys are in the right place for comedy. Thank you for coming out to the January edition of Story Smash, the Story's own game show. Without further ado, let's make it loud for the host and the creator of Story Smash, Christine Blackburn!
And we have an amazing show lined up for you guys tonight. We're so excited, and we're going to get started right away and reveal the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel, and there's also an additional space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, they can tell any of the 12 topics on the wheel. And there are also three spaces that say audience. And if the contestant lands on audience, and they always do, then you guys can shout out your favorite storytelling suggestions, and our expert judges will choose one of them to be their topic. And speaking of expert judges, let's get started right away, you guys. The first judge coming to the stage is a comedian, an Emmy-winning writer, an actor, and the host of the Dear Anxiety podcast. He's also been on The Sopranos, Conan, and Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he's no stranger to marijuana. Put your hands together for Ed Bresnik! This next judge coming to the stage is an internationally best-selling author, a screenwriter, a journalist, and a film producer. Her stories and essays have appeared in The New Yorker, The LA Times, The Chicago Tribune, and The National Lampoon. Her latest book I hold in my left hand, it's called The Other Side of the Wall. Please welcome the very talented Amy Efron! And our final judge coming to the stage right now, he's the Simon Cowell of Story Smash, really. He's also an Emmy Award-winning television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family, which is in its final season. He also has a book out right now. It's called He Started It, and it chronicles his Twitter war with President Donald Trump. This guy's won 5 Emmy Awards, and he won't let us forget it. Please welcome Danny Zucker! All right, you guys, this is going to be an amazing show. Ed, you've played the game before.
I have.
Danny's played the game before.
Yes, I have. Use a microphone.
I imagined it.
And you and you imagined it.
And part of it is talking into the mic.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, listen, so a lot of you guys know the rules of the game, but I'm going to go ahead and recap for you. There's 3 rounds that we're playing tonight. Each contestant will be randomly called up to the stage, and then we'll yell to them. In fact, where's the sign, Coughlin? I'm missing the sign. Oh. Oh, yeah, you can do that. It'll be that. So let's practice. Tell them what to do.
Spin that wheel!
I don't even need the sign anymore.
No, it's crazy.
This is unbelievable.
Can this be used as a tray of some kind?
You
for
can
food?
Also use it as a tray.
Okay, very
yeah,
good.
Sure you can. Absolutely.
Okay.
So the first round, these folks are coming up to the stage, and they're going to spin the wheel and tell a true one-minute story. They'll be responsible to keep their own eye on the clock. If you guys want to see it, feel free to turn it around, take a look.
Do we need to vet if it's true or not true?
Yes, we do fact check.
Oh.
Absolutely not.
Unlike the government, yes.
That's right.
Okay.
And then for round 2, same thing, guys. Everybody comes back on stage, spins the wheel, and tells a true 2-minute story. Then you guys have the very difficult task of choosing 2 people to go on to the 3rd round and tell a true 3-minute story. And boy, isn't that the fun part, Danny?
It is. But also, sometimes it's not so difficult.
Yeah.
There's usually 2 clear ones.
Yeah. And the rest.
And the rest. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
it happens.
So great to be judging someone other than myself. I'm
yeah.
so excited. Not since my bar mitzvah has this happened.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And listen, you guys, you got to keep a track of the time, because if you go over your time, you're going to hear this. Something like that. You're going to hear some smashing glass. It's not good, I'll tell you that. And we're going to go straight to the judges. Your story's over. So keep an eye on the clock.
Yeah, very important.
I don't mean to be a hard ass, but sometimes you have to.
You got to look these people in the shape.
Okay, you guys ready to start the show?
Yeah.
I know I am.
All right, you guys. We're on the stage right now, you guys. This contestant, he's an office drone by day and a comedian by night. He's performed at the Ontario Improv, the Greensboro Comedy Zone, and the 2019 Charm City Comedy Festival. Plus, get this, he was in the United States Marine Corps.
Ooh.
Please welcome Jacob Rosales. All right, you guys, tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Oh, wow.
Right off the bat.
So this is super exciting. Wow. He's landed on audience. And so we're just getting into the good stuff.
Wow.
You know, right off the bat.
Unprecedented. First time out.
It's unprecedented. It really is. So you guys, what kind of stories would you like to hear tonight? Let me hear over here first.
Hooking up. War.
Virginity.
Interesting.
Yeah, virginity.
How about over here?
Military service.
Military.
Puberty.
Basic training.
I know.
The military.
What about over there?
Grocery store.
What did you say?
Somebody said puberty.
Girl in the drape. What did you say?
Puberty. What do you guys want to hear about?
I don't know. It seems like you would have a unique perspective on military service.
I would think.
Yeah.
Why?
He was a United States Marine.
You can't tell.
Oh my God.
No. Successful transition.
You look more like you were in. Look more like you were in the Kiss Army.
Let's go. Yeah. All
right, military.
What kind of military were you in?
Marine Corps.
Cool.
Okay. Military. 1 minute on the military.
All right. Let's talk about boot camp. That was such a joy. You get in there, and you just have these big fucking dudes with shaved heads, just like, "Hello, you piece of shit!" And you're just like, you're freaked out. And you had like that first 3 days is just enough. You got, you go into medical and then you go in and they have you drop your drawers. They poke you in your ass like 5 times of shots. It was beautiful. It was good. I think the best though, it was Christmas Eve. Cause I, you know, I'm a fat fuck and I was a diet recruit. So I had to watch what I ate. And I remember Christmas Eve, like my mom and all the moms, they sent all the recruits all these candies and stuff. And so the drill instructors were like, "Hey, diet recruits, it's Christmas Eve, have fun." And so I'm just pigging out, man. I got cupcakes, I got pan dulce. It was great. And I remember vomiting so bad that evening. It was beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Bless the day. God bless
the day. Jacob Rosales.
Wow.
Right here. Nicely. All right, Danny Zucker.
Thank you for your service, first of all. Militarily, I'm not thanking you for that story particularly. But no, you're a true hero because a lot of people would not have the courage to go forward with a story that didn't have like a distinct ending.
No.
And that is, yeah. I mean, it reminded me a lot of the brave soldiers on Omaha Beach. You know, they didn't know. They just went headstrong into enemy gunfire. You did that unarmed, but it was interesting anyway.
Ed Krasnick.
I loved your story, and it reminded me of Platoon in some ways. And what I love that you did, great technique, is that you played to the audience and the judges at the same time.
See, that was excellent.
That is excellent. So you were very conscious of what you were doing. I love you, I love your service, and I love America.
Amy Efron, Amy.
Counterpoint.
I want to ask a question. What year was this?
2002.
And where did you get sent after that?
Oklahoma. I had to go to artillery school.
There you go. Yeah. We went to what?
Artillery school in Fort Sill, Oklahoma after that.
And then what happened?
Camp Pendleton. It was hell.
It is hell, actually. And thank you for your service.
No, not a problem.
And it's not his fault he didn't have an end to that story, because actually he didn't end up in Afghanistan.
No, it's true. I would have stolen somebody else's story. Like Don Draper stole that.
You would have been great in artillery school.
I would have.
You would have been.
Are you a sharpshooter?
No, God, no. I'm a horrible shot.
Oh, I'm a really good shot. Oh, that's a word you can use anymore. Do you think shot's not PC? Take a good shot? I'm not sure. It's really a little dangerous.
You know what? It isn't. It isn't PC.
I'm more of a spray and pray.
Okay.
Spray and pray, ladies and gentlemen.
Jacob Rosales, let me hear you guys. Jacob Rosales, yay. The gun thing is not PC, because the name of this show used to be Shotgun Storyworthy, and if they went over the times, they heard a gunshot.
Wow.
And the guns were going off like one night 15 times here in the improv, and the main room folks started getting worried, so we had to change change it up.
Typical liberals.
All right, you guys, come to the stage right now. This contestant, she's a comedian and a writer and an actress. You've seen her on Days of Our Lives and in Pretty Little Liars. She also hosts a show called the Trailer Trash Talent Review, which is a variety show in a real trailer park in Van Nuys. And she's a two-time Story Smash winner. Put your hands together for Dawn Brody! Yay. All right, you guys.
I just want to point this out. She did the wheel on the left hand.
I like it. Break up. Break up.
All right. This can take 1 minute. When I was 19, I married a guy I met in the Highlands of Scotland. That was only 8 seconds. That actually wasn't that bad. I was in love with him. His sister was a foreign exchange student in my high school, and we wrote letters to each other. And I was from Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, the centermost point in the state of Wisconsin, and nothing ever happens there. And Braveheart was the number one movie at the time. And 1996, I'm not kidding. And he was like, "Oh, you lost if you're colder than," I was like, blah, 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 you know, 19. And he was also 6'4 and worked in a bar and carried a mace because they don't have guns there. So whenever there was a fight, he'd swing this fucking mace into a tree stump. And that and the accent was enough, and I married him. And he moved to the United States my sophomore year of college. And we slept together. I lost my virginity in a single bed. But I divorced him because you can't do that. Love doesn't work that way.
Dawn Brody. What a great story. Amy Ethelman.
I love you. You're great.
Oh, thank you.
Did you like the mace part? I like that.
I liked all that. I think a lot of people lost their virginity in a single bed.
That's true.
Just saying, it's a possibility. But that was an amazing run. You're extraordinary.
Thank you.
Ed Krasnick.
You are extraordinary. You've already done more in that story than I've done in my whole life. I like that, but that is the truth. I just love the way you put it all together. You're very funny, and the way you put your story had an architecture to it. And I feel like I've been married as well. To a Scottish man.
Danny Zucker.
You're amazing. I think you're amazing. I am concerned about the sound your vagina makes. Is it like... I'm not a doctor.
That's
at all.
Not totally not me. I'm sorry.
Medically, no. I'm worried about it. I have daughters. I mean, if I heard that, I would be like, honey, you've got to go.
I'm not daughters. She just soft like a vagina.
If I heard right that now. In Toy Story, that would be a better movie.
That's a boy story.
That's true.
All right, you guys, give it up for Dawn Brody. It's a great story. A great story. All right, you guys, this contestant coming on stage right now. She's a comedian and she has a very successful vlog on YouTube called Manic Pixie Dream Vlog and Podcast. And she's also a winner of Story Smash. Put your hands together for Caroline Georges. Here she goes.
Food. So this might surprise you guys, but I was a bulimic for 7 years.
Woo!
Come on! All the Häagen-Dazs I was eating, you feel sorry for me? I was a bulimic and I went to a therapeutic boarding school to be treated for my eating disorder. And so we would be taken on walks every day, like dogs. And so one day we were going on a walk and there was this day where this girl decided she wanted to commit suicide. So we were on this walk and we were all walking and then all of a sudden this chick just like, you know, into traffic, you know? And so we were on a walk with this nurse, you know? And so she was like, I must save her. And she was this old lady, you know. And so she ran into traffic to go, like, try and save this girl. And this girl's the last resort to kill herself because all the traffic started going around her, you know. And then so she, as the last resort, she started trying to choke herself with, a plastic necklace and a rope. Anyway,
Caroline Georges! Caroline Georges! Whoa, let's turn up the smash if you can, Rick.
Turn up the smash.
Go ahead, Ed Kraft.
I'm gonna go on this one. I'm sorry.
What? Go ahead, Ed.
I think it's really sad that you got food. And I think it was a really amazing story.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm really glad you're here.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here too, guys.
I'll go with that.
That's what I have to say about this. And is it true?
That a girl tried and threw herself into traffic, or that I was a bulimic?
All of them.
Yeah. It was, don't worry, it was pretty funny, to be honest. It was a pretty lame attempt at suicide. It was pretty pathetic, trust me. Nothing to be alarmed by.
Ed Kraft.
There's nothing funnier than a good suicide on a walk when you're being treated like a dog.
Now,
first of all, I agree with Amy. I think you're very courageous.
Oh, thank you.
And I appreciate you telling that story. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate also you spinning the wheel and then trying to stop it. I think that's interesting. I'm not a therapist, but I think it's interesting. And I'm fascinated by the way you're holding a drink while you're performing. I love that.
Yes.
And you're really, I'm very glad you're here and very courageous.
I know
a little bit about this, so... I appreciate it.
All right, Danny Zucker.
I found it a little cowardly. No, I'm kidding. No, you were so funny. It's all good. I mean, quick side note. I was in rehab at some point. I know you guys are shocked. And I also...
Creative type.
Yes, in the 90s. Quite enjoyed cocaine, did it all.
Yeah.
And then my rehab in Santa Monica, so no one knew I was there, but then we would have to take these daily walks.
Yeah.
So it was almost like in Game of Thrones, shame. And I kept running. What's Danny walking with these?
I remember that in Malibu. Walking the people walking.
I know. And it was I thought it was horrible. So I feel your pain. I relate.
Oh,
so
okay.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Caroline Georges over here. Story. All right, you guys, come to the stage right now. I have it in my left hand. It is our audience member.
Holy moly.
This is very exciting. Danny Zucker's going to tell us who's playing the game tonight. And you guys, you got to be really kind, man, because this is not easy. And you're going to be very nice to this person. Please, who's playing the game, Danny?
I'm going to tell you right now. Alan S.
Alan S.
Here comes the ringer. I put my name in that thing because I didn't think this was actually going to happen. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. I'm a Kentucky boy.
Expectations low.
Yeah, you really should be.
Great storytellers from Kentucky.
Great stage.
All right. Drunk tank.
This story is not funny, and I think, you know, that might continue, but it is the night that my life turned around, because you went to rehab. I was drinking a lot when I was 20, really, and I drove drunk several times. Oh my God, nobody ever does that. I drove drunk, partly because I was very confident in myself, and I thought nobody drives drunker better than me. I can do it better than anyone. Point is, I got all the way fucking home hammered and decided I wanted food, turned around, went to a fucking McDonald's, okay? The line was so fucking long at this McDonald's that after I ordered, I decided to pull out of the line. I clipped somebody's quarter panel, and at this point I'm like, life is over, I'm just leaving, and maybe things will be okay. I pull up to, then there was immediately a red light, so I had to stop. And 5 seconds later, I heard, "Where the fuck are you going?" And some dude punched me through my face, and I spent the night in the drunk tank, and I learned a valuable lesson.
Wow! Alan S. Whoa. Okay, right here. Wow! Whoa. Amazing! He comes up, he nails it, he hits the top, and he does a great story.
Beginning, middle, and end. I mean, hats off, audience guy.
Everything.
I don't know whether it's that you lowered expectations so much that we're thrilled.
I'm gonna do it again.
You said it's not funny, and then you like riffed, and it was like completely brilliant. But what was the prompt? Because we can't see it.
Drunk tank.
Drunk.
Whoa.
So he hit it.
Whoa. Yeah.
He went to jail.
Totally beyond.
Yeah, it was great. And at Krasnick.
First of all, I was in the cell next to you. You're great. I'm a Kentuckian. Bourbon is my thing. You're a very good storyteller, obviously. And I liked your pacing. I liked your timing. I liked your honesty. I enjoyed
and
your
coat. And you know
coat,
how to
the
end the story. You hit the end and it was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You like... did the whole, like, you like excelled in essay class.
The
lesson I learned was following the rules.
I appreciate that.
So I want to follow the rules.
Danny?
I've already weighed in.
Right.
I mean, I have nothing more to say to this man.
All right, guys, let him hear it. Alan S.
Wow. You're very good, Alan S.
That was great.
What's his last name?
I'm hoping in the next round we'll learn we'll learn his last name. I'm hoping. That's fine.
What's your last name, Alan?
Shariati.
Just so Alan S.
Let's keep it at Alan S.
Alan S.
I get why you did the
answer. All right, guys. Last contestant coming to the stage for a true 1 minute story, and that'll end round one. This guy, you guys, he is a comedian who hails from San Diego. He's performed in all the major clubs here in town, and also in the Portland Comedy Festival. Put your hands together for Mark Fernandez. And so we're going to take suggestions again. How about you guys give me a suggestion first? This side.
Fashion.
Cruise ship.
Fashion.
Dating a stripper.
Weed.
Location.
Hospital visits.
Coyotes.
You
like wow.
Family.
What do you like? Don't tell them.
Black pants.
What?
Plaid pants.
Coyotes.
The topic is coyotes,
well,
you guys. Is that the topic?
Maybe that's too weird. No.
Hold on. I got one.
We always got one. Let's go.
He's got it. All right, you guys. Give him a big round of applause.
Coyotes,
Mark Fernandez.
Locked and loaded.
1 minute story.
So I live in Burbank, California, and I'm one of those guys who I hate people who don't pick up after their dogs. I'm always raging on the Burbank Twitter feed. If someone does pick up another dog, I'm like, yeah! If you don't pick up after your dog, you're what came out of your dog's butt. Man, I'm that guy, right? So I was walking my dog a few weeks ago, and someone did not pick up after the dog, and I'm pissed off, and I'm raging while I'm walking my dog, and a coyote is walking across the street. So I want to protect my dog. My dog's a chihuahua mix. He's a snack. Basically, for this coyote. So the coyote is walking across the street, and he's staring me down.
Yeah.
He's staring me down, and he goes to the other side of the street to the corner. So I'm on one corner, the coyote's on the other corner, and he's staring at me. And as he's staring at me, he squats down and shits, staring at me. Like, hey, asshole, nobody's picking this up. That's pretty much...
Mark Fernandez! That's a great story!
That is a great story.
We landed right on 1 minute. You know, right out of it, he just pulled that right out. A tremendous story. Ed Krasny.
That was fantastic. Coyote is a very strange thing.
Yeah.
And you made it work, and I appreciated it.
Right.
I like the physicalization. I like the punctuation, and you remind me of my Aunt Rose. No, she used to be, but never mind. No, but you were great. You were great.
Oh,
I really enjoyed this story, Mark.
Amy Efron.
You like have a thing about like body functions. You're like kind of like into like the dip thing and the like fart thing and like I wasn't
who is it
surprised.
Wait, he didn't talk about that too much, did he?
No, well, but he ended.
Oh, I see.
With something that like I was going, oh yeah, he's really, and then you went.
You ever been stared down by a coyote while he was shitting?
I love you. Yeah, I'm just saying. Okay.
It's a shit joke.
Okay.
It's a shit joke. Yep.
It's a story. A shit story.
It was a story.
Look,
I did a good job at story.
Yeah.
And then I was a little like, I wanted you to have a real encounter with a coyote.
Yep. He stared me down while he shat, Amy. I don't know.
That was what I loved. I loved the staring.
Shut him down.
The only thing we were missing was David Attenborough narrating the show.
Danny Zucker.
I honestly suffer from constipation, and unless I'm staring down somebody, I cannot get it going. I just have to, kids, get in here. I need to make eye contact.
That's
so I understand. This, I sympathize with the coyote, I guess is what I'm saying. It's a power move.
I get it.
None of this is true. I don't know what to say. You did a great job on a crazy coyote story. Sure, you went a little cock-a-doo-doo at the end, but it felt organic to it.
Yeah. Ed, anything else?
I love that you locked eyes, and you didn't turn away. That's fascinating, and you need to see somebody.
Mark Fernandez, love to hear Mark Fernandez. All right. Okay, so that was a good first round, don't you think?
Yeah. No, really.
That was great.
That was a great first round.
The range.
Amy, you're feeling good?
I'm feeling great.
Okay. All the names are back in this container, and we're going to start calling people up for a true two-minute story that's double the fun.
Twice as long.
Yeah. So settle in. It's going to be a lot of fun. First comedian coming to the stage right now is Mark Fernandez.
Oh, my God.
Come on back, brother. Okay, you guys, tell them what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Danny,
I think you should spin it again because you already got audience.
Okay.
I don't think it's fair.
As a senior judge, I'll allow it.
That feels like ageism, but whatever.
Do you get any discounts as a senior judge? Yeah.
Spin that wheel again!
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Vacation.
2 minutes.
Vacation. So I was taking a shit.
I always consider shits vacation life.
Did you see it,
Tom? Well, I'm on my vacation. So on my 21st birthday, a bunch of friends of mine took me out to on a vacation weekend to ride ATCs out in the Glamis, like Buttercup. You guys know where that is?
No.
Way out and good, doesn't matter. So, one of my buddies is a moron, and we're setting up camp, and my buddy Dave's dad was an Army drill sergeant. He always has weapons, so this is 1983, so we're in the middle of the desert. We're pitching the tents and the camp and whatever, and my buddy Dave goes in the middle of the camp with a 90-pound test bow and arrow, and fires straight up in the air. So he fires it straight up in the air, and he looks at us and goes, huh. And we're like, what the fuck? And so we scatter. And he's watching it, and he steps like two steps this way, stomp right into the ground. He's laughing. He thinks that's funny. We think he's a moron. So we're like, you fucking idiot, whatever. We continue pitching the camp and everything. And then like half an hour later, like, where's Dave? No one knows where Dave is. Like, oh shit, what's Dave gonna do now? He's up on a plateau about 100 yards away, and we see him do this. And he's aiming it at the camp. We're like, no. And boom, he fires one at the camp.
Jesus.
So we're scattering, going over, and it lands. It lands like 30 yards in front of us, but we all want to murder this guy. Later that weekend, he had a camera and caught me shitting in the desert. That was just coincidental. No coyotes, Amy. Sorry. Anyway, we passed around a mezcal bottle, and the mezcal bottle, that we said that whoever had the last shot would have to eat the worm. Of course, it came to me. I ate the worm. Someone yelled, "Night ride!" I yelled, "Fuck you!" Crawled in the tent and went to sleep. Nice.
Mark Fernandez. Again, a perfect time. 1 minute and 59 seconds. He's right on topic. Ed Krasny.
I think you're a good storyteller. I can see that, and I like the way that you. I do like the way you physicalize things. You act things out, and you make it real. And I like that. I appreciate that about you. Your vacations are like Platoon, and I don't appreciate it. No. And I think that's interesting. I really do. I like the way you color your stories.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right, Amy Efron.
You go first.
Danny Zucker.
I can't wait for
what he says.
Here's the thing.
The chewing disease.
Oh, no, I just had a little butt flop. I thought Amy was going to go, I thought I had time to chew.
No, it's fine. Go ahead. I'm
constructive. I think there were interesting things in this story. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure that the end of your story had anything to do with the beginning of your story. If you know what I'm saying. It just kind of was like a little bit all over the place.
Okay.
That said, you're bigger than I am, and could hurt me. And I have friends who shoot bows and arrows, so I hope we're cool.
It's all good with me.
Okay, good.
Amy Efron, let's hear it.
Were they bows and arrows or guns? I'm really confused.
Bows and arrows. I don't know the technique.
Are you good at
know? Archery?
Can you do that?
No, I'm not a weapon dude at all, no.
Oh, okay. That sounds really scary and really was very evocative. And very well told.
Thank you.
Maybe you should send them over to your publisher.
A little violent. A little not PC, but like that's the thing. Kind of like male testosterone.
Well, yeah, it was just a bunch of dudes.
No, it's a period piece.
It was a period piece. Yeah,
it was a nice period.
So different in the 80s.
There were no women involved. It was a period piece. Hey, everybody.
A story that was a period piece that absolutely captured a story of your vacation many years ago.
Yeah. It was Stand By Me.
Mark Fernandez. Let him hear you guys. Mark Fernandez. All right, you guys, going to the stage right now for our true two-minute story is the one and only Dawn Brody. Dawn Brody, come on up. All right, you guys, tell her what to do. There she goes.
She has never let us down. Every story tops the last.
Every time.
Food.
Come on, she's really funny and stop it right now and just like.
We love her.
Of course we do. I love her.
No pressure. Angel food cake sounds appropriate for the sound of God coming from above. My maternal grandmother, my mother's mother, Gertrude Adams, made the best angel food cake you've ever had in your life. And she never wore shoes. Those were my two biggest memories of her. She also had a white streak in her hair because she like was Rosie the Riveter. She moved to Seattle at the beginning of World War II because that's where the money was, from Wisconsin. Wisconsin, right? Wisconsin, the central point of the state of Wisconsin. Nothing ever happens there. And so she went to Seattle and welded submarines, and her husband was blind in one eye, so he also was in the shipyards, but he tested under her, so he actually made less money. And there was a day she was welding the submarines, and a piece of hot, molten metal flew from where she was welding and landed on her scalp. And it burned her scalp, but her hair grew back, but it grew back white.
Wow.
And so she had this jet black hair with a white streak in it that I always remember. And even as it got gray, you could still see this like really, really white streak. And also because she was in the Women's Army Corps, WAC. She had a foot injury from having to march, because they did have to march on occasion. And so once she was out, she never, ever wore shoes. And so one of my biggest memories is just this barefooted woman with a white streak in her hair carrying the most beautiful angel food cake you've ever had in your entire life. And I think about her all the time, especially, as you know, on January 1st, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage. And this female icon of the age, and of course, is why I wear a bandana myself in tribute to Gertrude Adams.
Yay! Sons of
how about that? Dawn Brody, you guys. Dawn Brody, 1:54, just a few seconds short, but a great story. Look at Amy Efron smiling. What do you have to say?
That was so completely amazing. And she was an angel. And you were lucky to have her in your life. And I want the angel food cake recipe.
Me too.
Oh, you don't have it.
I don't.
Oh, But that was an extraordinary story, and that's literally all I can say. It was so blessed with love and humor.
And no shitting.
Nobody does
shit. She did shit. I have that on confirmation. She well did. The greatest generation shits like they meant it. Yes.
Ed Krasnick.
Well, you're a wonderful storyteller, but your imagination is great because I love that the voice of God works through angel cake. Angel food cake. That's fantastic. And then you made it really personal and really touching. And it's very hard to do that in an atmosphere that's a game show, basically. So I really admire you. I think you're very talented.
Also, you came back from like a really bad first round. And then you brought it back to food, and you made it about angels. And you like totally rocked, and you took notes, and you're a genius.
Danny Zucker, are you drunk?
I'm not drunk at all.
Okay.
Yes. I'm not. I will say, I thought that was like moving, for sure. It was great. I thought you had a great first round. I'm going to just disagree with you. But I will say this. I felt like I could have used more men in the story. Total teasing. Please don't cancel it. No, you were great. You're always great.
Something about something else you did, which I want to point out in case anyone missed it, and anyone here is hiring. Oh. You have an astonishing ability to mimic, and an astonishing ability to voice other people's voices. And in the telling of that story, you did things to your voice that brought us all kinds of places to other people's voices, and you are completely extraordinary.
Oh, very nice.
Well,
Don wrote a letter here.
Excellent.
I love listening to your critique. You're fantastic. You bring literacy to America.
No, she outclasses everybody here.
You're literary.
Come on to the stage right now. This is crazy. This is the same order that happened the last round, but she's coming to the stage right now. Give her a big round of applause. Caroline Georges!
That means you get to pick any category. Any kind of wheel.
Any category.
Mom.
One time, mom. I actually had a really interesting conversation with her the other day. So my mom. I'm really realizing my mom might be kind of old. So this is why. So in my hometown, there is this ghost that haunts the woods called the Blue Girl. So what happened was this little 7-year-old girl drowned in the river, which is like below zero temperatures. And when they pulled her out of the water, she was as blue as a blueberry. And so, my drama teacher, David, he saw her. He was like walking through the woods with his dog, and he started getting chased by this like 7-year-old ghost that was completely blue, you know, and he was like obviously like freaked out and totally gay about it, you know.
You're really funny.
Okay. Drama teacher. I was talking to my mom about it the other day, because she and I were talking about ghosts for some reason, because, you know, what else are you going to talk about with your mom? Like, sex, you know? My mom is like the kind of person that's like, you're going to be a slammed dunk on a first date, Caroline, no one's ever going to marry you, you know? And so anyways, I was telling my mom about the blue girl, and my mom was like, oh yeah, I used to carpool with her to school. I was like, Mom, you're friends with a ghost? Like, you, like, grew up with a ghost? Like, and so my mom's old. She's friends with ghosts. Like, her childhood friend is a notorious ghost in my hometown. Who would have thought? Okay, lost my
time. Caroline George, it's perfect time. 1:59. That crashing shouldn't have even happened because she was right
she
on
was
time.
Right on time.
Great, great job, Danny.
Should never happened.
Yeah, no, I think the whole improv owes you an apology for that crash.
Maybe they'll book me for a show.
Very concerned.
To apologize. No.
The most concerning thing was you're on a first name basis with your drama teacher. that was the thing that most struck me. David, you know, my drama teacher. But a fantastic story that your mom is friends with, like, the dead girl.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. That feels like the start of any great horror movie, really. Did people actually see the ghost? Like, did the ghost, like, were there sightings of the ghost since your mom's died?
Tons of sightings of her.
Yeah. And she was blue because she froze?
Yeah, she froze to death in the water and drowned.
Was she dead when your mom went to school with her, or was she blue?
Oh, no, she was alive.
That's what I thought.
Apparently living in a trailer park.
Unbelievable. That was a completely great story.
Oh, thanks.
And I realized that's why your mom's old, because your mom is friends with a ghost. Your mom knew someone who died and became a ghost, and she knew her before she was dead. And that is why your mom's old. And it was a perfect story. And you're amazing. And I laughed 5 times.
Oh, all right.
Ed Krasnick. Are
you familiar with the Smurf franchise? That's a really interesting story. And it's actually a Netflix series, is it not? You have a deal with Netflix to create it?
Oh, in a second you could sell that at Netflix.
I really thought it was very interesting. You're a very interesting performer, and your timing is very interesting. Because you're in your own time, which I appreciate, because I'm never that way. Especially at the improv. Who does that at the improv?
And you were really calm and, like, sedate and, like, just, like, whatever.
You're drunk, obviously. I need to accept that. Teasing you.
But
that was a joke.
Nice job.
All right, nice job. Let her hear
it. You did a great job.
Caroline George. Way to go, Caroline. All right. Thank you, John. All right, you guys. Come to the stage right now for a true 2-minute story is, look at that, it's our audience member, Alan S.
Oh,
Alan
S.
All right, you guys. Always got a cheering squad. I like that. Tell them what to do, guys.
Will. Let's see if it was a fluke, guys.
Hooking up.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I don't do that shit.
Yeah.
I don't have a story. Yeah. I think that sex is a gift. I honestly don't know why anyone's laughing right now. Your body is your palace, and so is your lover's. And sex is like, I don't know, the joining of two kingdoms. It's a sacred thing. It's not funny at all. Because when you're physical with somebody, you're legitimately intimate, you know? You're vulnerable, and that's just true. I hope you pick who you give your gift to carefully. And I don't judge you for any mistakes you've made, or that you can't be as pious as I, or I've never hooked up. Thank you.
What do you have to say, Ed Krasnick?
Alan, when are you performing at the improv again?
If you give me an invite, then we can talk after the show.
Yeah, that was tremendous. You turned this whole show into a 12-step PSA, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I love that, and I love your sincerity. I think you're a really interesting performer. I mean, if I were a club owner, I would book you.
That was only 57.
That was the worst story I've ever heard.
57 seconds. He needed to do 2 minutes.
I know. Well, you could have gone longer, but what you did, I really enjoyed, and I thought was very unique.
Thanks. Danny Zucker.
Enough said.
No, here's the thing. Clearly a funny take. You're a very funny gentleman, and you had a funny attitude on it. it's a loose definition of what I would call story.
I didn't have a philosophy.
Yeah, it was more like a little bit of like an anti-sermon. I give you huge points for being funny and having an original take, and I give you no points for telling a story. Yeah, I think that's a fair thing, right? I'm not being a dick.
Totally fair.
Amy Efron.
You know, actually, he didn't need to be up here today. A lot of people came up here today had a trunk full of material.
You've opened my eyes, Amy.
They were bringing on the stage with them a trunk full of memories, and he's like on the spot. I think you were a little bit in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were a little of today and not really accounting for romance or sex or as it's gone through the ages. I think you were.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, let's talk about like other decades and how people felt about intimacy.
I just, in the moment,
this time period, and that's
cool. Oh, okay. All right.
But you should have framed it.
I owe you an apology, clearly.
No, you do.
And if you want to talk about storytelling, you have to frame it. And you didn't frame it in this decade. And so
Alan.
That's my one complaint. If you framed it in this decade and your point of view, and you brought in someone you'd seen across a room or a character or something else, all the things would have, and if I taught you anything, I'm really glad, but you're great.
Do it again with the next minute.
I just wanted to say...
Talk about the girl. You're on.
I just wanted to say, thank you for being sincere. I actually really appreciate you talking about the craft.
Who hurt you?
a lot of people, but I did let some of them. I kind of a sucker for pain. In case the drunk tank story and that didn't really...
Alan S., it's been nice having you here.
Oh, this is great.
I'm not saying he's not going on in the third round. I just want to say thank you.
He's an enormously funny guy, and this was a...
Thank you.
It felt like a very special episode of Story Slam.
Hey, I know. Alan! You didn't shake my hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I appreciate you. That's really nice. I guess I got two.
Alan S. Very nice. All right, let's give a round of applause for Alan S. It's never easy to come up here without any preparation. So, way to go. One more storyteller coming up right now for a true 2-minute story. Put your hands together for Jacob Rosales! All right, you guys, tell them what to do.
Hooking up.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Hooking up.
This is fun. Yeah, I'll tell you guys. Hooking up when I was the jarhead, because that was a blast. Yeah. We used to go to this, because I was in Camp Pendleton, so we go to Carlsbad to go hang out. There's this bar we go meet up with the Cougars called Boris Crossing. It was fun time. You know, you go there, and sometimes, you know, they might have a rock on their left hand or whatever, but you're just like, hey, Mrs. Gump, is there a Mr. Gump? Sometimes they'd say he's on vacation, other times they'd say he's on deployment. It was a plus. But, you know, that was that. After a while, I kind of didn't really like doing that. And, so this is around, like, 2005, and there was this website called Hot or Not. Do you guys remember that dumpster fire? Oh, yeah, that was a
horrible.
And I hooked up with this 50-year-old woman on Hot or Not, and she's like, let's exchange sexual fantasies via email. I'm like, okay, cool, why not? So I came up with this really good story. I think I said something like, I got home from duties, and I'm in my camis, and you go down on me. I probably included something very romantic, like titty fuck, in there. You know? So she sent me this really long 5-page message story. I was excited. I was like, oh, she's gonna be like a naughty MILF or like a dominatrix. This is gonna be hot. But her sexual fantasy: I was deployed to Iraq, and my Humvee got blown up by an IED. Yeah, hot. That's hot. Yeah. Most guys would be like, no, I'm not gonna read anymore. But I was curious about what plot twist was in store for me next. Yeah, so I was at the rehab hospital. I was recovering from third-degree burns and wounds to my lower extremities, and she's there giving me support.
Really?
This is a sexual fantasy she had for me. Yeah, she's giving me support.
motivation. So I'm like, cool. She's got like a Florence Nightingale effect. I'm gonna get like a sponge bath and a hand job. That wasn't the case though. No, in this fantasy, she pulls out her breast and she began to nurse me. She had an adult nursing relationship fantasy. Yeah. She even attributed the holistic powers of her breast milk to my fast and speedy recovery. The damnedest thing.
Jason Rosales. Ed Krasnick,
you took us down the rabbit hole and you pulled it out. That's all I have to say. I didn't think you were going to. I was having an attitude about the whole thing. And then like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was memorable.
Are you online now?
I try to stay away from the apps every night.
Good.
That's an amazing story. I really got into it, and that concerns me. Quite frankly, an Amy is concerned for me and for her. Now, okay. So, just one point of clarification. She got in the fantasy. You get blown up by an intrauterine device?
No, by an IUD.
As an IUD.
I didn't hear him properly.
Okay.
An IED. Oh, okay. Well, this is why my sex life isn't good. I don't hear well.
I mean, I think we're judging this woman a little harshly. This is my top search category on Pornhub. So I do use out nourishing breast milk from women. No, very good story. I would say this is like your first story. I mean, now we're friends now. Yeah. My first story, blue.
Oh, no, yeah. No.
This one actually was like you took me on a journey. Nice job. Good job. Yeah,
really good, Jacob.
Okay, great job. Jacob Rosales, let me hear you guys. Jacob Rosales. Okay, this is a very exciting part of the show where you guys have the very difficult decision of choosing two storytellers to go on to the third round. And in that round, they'll tell a true 3-minute story. Put 1 minute on the clock. They've got 1 minute to decide. And in the meantime, you guys, I wanted to point out that the winner of tonight's show gets my homemade chocolate chip cookies. Yes, these cookies are very good. Everybody loves them. I also want to give a big shout out to Julie at the bar. Julie! Rick Rosario in the back on the music. Amazing. Thank you, friend. We've got Lindsay over at the box office, and she'll sell you a ticket to the very next show. It's on February 29th. That's only here. So go on out and buy your tickets for the next Story Smash. And I also want to give a big round of applause to Jim Coughlin sitting right in front of me. Jim Coughlin, man. I can't do this show without all these people. There's a lot of people involved. It takes a village, and I really appreciate each and every one of you guys coming out for the show. Are they in the
village? They're right there. They're right there.
Okay, look at that. In 58 seconds, you've made a decision.
Yeah.
This is exciting. Was it a difficult decision?
I did not. I disagreed with them, personally.
You did.
I just let them have their way. But, yeah. It wouldn't
Ed,
be my
was
choice.
It a difficult decision?
No, it's not true.
I'm very upset by
he's lying.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the first lie, maybe the first lie we heard all night. We don't know. Everything else could have been fantastic and made up. We don't know.
In a room,
that was a lie.
No, it was a lie. It was a hard decision. We would have loved to have three. It came down to two.
Yeah.
Fascinating story.
We really wanted three.
We would love three.
And Ed, what happened?
Well, I had a nervous breakdown. And it happened for a while. No, yeah. I thought the topics and the range of storytelling
amazing.
Was very interesting. The styles and the pacing.
Amazing. I across the board was very high this week. Like, normally there's somebody like, it just eats it, you know? It's like,
And then you can just forget about it.
Toss them out. We couldn't toss out anybody.
No.
Yeah. Not even the audience member.
No, he was great. Super funny.
Absolutely.
All right, see, there you go. All right, you guys, come to the stage right now for one of the final round, and there's going to be two people coming up. But the first person coming to the stage right now, give them a big round of applause. It's Caroline Georges. Caroline Georges. Tell her what to do, you guys.
Spin that wheel.
Don't touch the wheel.
Sorry.
Got it?
Oh, free
she got free. Right. No, wait. Now, hang on.
Danny, I get a pick.
As our senior judge.
Oh, man.
She's got to spin again.
What do you guys think? I think if she can't get free twice, right?
I got free, so
because
I get
the audience guy had to.
Yeah, true.
Okay,
I got it.
Here we
got,
go. Get more music.
I would let
spin,
you.
Spin that wheel.
We got free.
Free judge.
I gotta bring down the hammer, you guys. School days. 3 minutes.
Do I look like I went to school? Okay. In college, this might surprise all of you, but I'm more than just a pretty face. I'm also a stripper. And I paid my way through college.
Yes!
I went to school, and so there was this professor who was involved. I went to film school, and he was involved in a very illicit scandal in Hollywood. He really screwed over a screenwriter and got sued for millions of dollars and got fired and blacklisted. And he was resorted to teaching. So he was my professor. And so I heard about this scandal. I was like, all right, I need to get to the bottom of this. I need to know what this guy's about. So I went up to him during break in class, and I was like, can I get you a cup of coffee, sir? And he said, yes, I would love for you to get me a cup of coffee. I love you. And so he and I started dating. And I got an A plus, and I deserved it. And I did. Sex work is work. So me and this professor started like kind of dating a little bit, but I was at the same time he's like this old guy, and I was just like, and I was like, class was getting over soon, you'd already given me an A, kind of time to end the relationship, right? I was living in this hostel, and it was like a hostel, you know what I mean? It was like a kind of hostel where it's like you're in a shower, and all of a sudden you peek out of the shower curtain, and there's somebody smoking meth in the bathroom with you, And so I was living in this environment. So all of a sudden I hear boys to men playing in the driveway of this hostel. Boys to men. And I'm just like, what's going on out there? And then so all of the girls that I'm sharing a room with go outside, and they're like, there's this old guy in a Jaguar playing boys to men. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, well, that's weird. So I get on the phone with him, and he's like, why aren't you attracted to me? And then I say, because you're old. And he says, yes. The story ends there, unfortunately, but I got an A.
Yeah, Caroline George's a perfect place to end at 2:57. She nailed it again, the time. Amy, close your mouth. What do you think, Amy Efron?
I think that you took something and completely transformed it in some way that I think you have better experiences as you went away from Hollywood. I wish you told us his name, because I think that's very important.
Who is it?
No, she can't do that.
Yes, she can. It's story time.
You absolutely can do it. You can do it, you can say it, but you chose not to.
I'll tell you.
And also, I think it's really interesting that you were able to play him and get an A.
Yeah.
And in this environment we're in, I completely appreciate your story. I completely appreciate that you're not traumatized by the story in any way, and you were like, oh, what the fuck? You know, no problem. What is he doing out there playing boys to men? And so you're a warrior, and...
There you go, Danny Zucker.
Just so how old is too old? I mean, even.
Okay,
I I'm going to be 56 on Monday. What a great
birthday.
A youngster.
Yes. What a great birthday present. You get an A. Well, that was amazing. I like the twisted version of Say Anything quality.
Yeah.
Where instead of the boombox playing Peter Gabriel, it's a sad, disgraced professor in a Jaguar. End of the road.
I don't remember.
I'll make love to you like you want me to.
It might have
been I'll make love to you. It might have been.
That's a good song.
Oh my god.
It's the perfect soundtrack.
That's the most disgusting part of the story I have.
PG-13.
Yeah, good job.
Ed Krasnick.
Well, first of all, sex work is work.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Yes. Yes.
No, I learned so much in that story, and it was very interesting. I was just fascinated by the whole thing. And there are so many interesting details. You've had such an interesting life. You're an interesting person. You're
yep.
a truly interesting person. And I have Boys to Men on my 8-track in my car, which is an AMC Pacer. But I also... Does that make me too old? I don't know. But I have Old Men to Boys, which is a different band.
Caroline George is under
here. Great job, Caroline. Great job.
Amazing.
Well done.
What a great game this is. We got one more storyteller coming up for the evening, and this is going to wrap up the whole show. That person coming to the stage right now, put your hands together for Don Brody. Don Brody, you guys. Tell her what to do.
Let's do it. One for two, Amy.
You can do it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm in your drunk tank. What is it?
Drunk tank.
Oh.
I lived for 9 years aboard a houseboat on the Mississippi River in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Thank you. Year round, if you haven't been to St. Paul, Minnesota, the cold, it's cold. I mean, like, Siberia cold, like breathing without a scarf and your nose freezes shut kind of cold. And it's particularly cold down on the Mississippi River. And often the only way to really survive it is to get as drunk as you can. As soon as you can. And I found that to be true. I took the boat in October of 2012 from St. Paul, Minnesota, 1,800 miles down the Mississippi River to the Gulf of Mexico. And we had to leave in October because of work, and it was cold already, and the gas stocks were closing. And there was a day that we were in Keetsburg, Iowa, and it was 30 degrees, and this boat was sinking before we left. And my fellow was sitting on the top of the boat in the dark, shining a spotlight on buoys as we went, because the sun set at like 7. And so I'm trying to navigate my boat through the buoys with no radar and figuring it out. And we get through a lock, and there's a barge spinning because of the wind and the dark. We have no spotlight. And I call on the radio a fella named my River Daddy. And he taught me how to drive a boat, and he looks like Mark Twain, and he eats nothing but chicken wings, and he lives on tequila. Very reliable source. And I said, Doc, River Daddy, I'm spinning in the middle of the thing. It's October, I'm running out of gas and singing, what do I do? And he said, throw out a line. When you get down to that lock, Don Brody, throw out a line and catch the dock. And we're shining buoys, and I throw out a line, and I catch this dock. And it's like, if we would have missed it, my spiraling little death trap would have gone. I mean, it would have been bad. And so, I get up, and we tie up, and my hands are shaking, and I have a dog with me. And a dog is old dog, fella dog, me, old boat. And my hands are just shaking. And we had already drank most of the booze, but I had a novelty string somebody had given me as a joke. Ah! It was attached to like a life preserver, a miniature life. Ha! In an emergency, here's some miniature tequila, some miniature whiskey, and I broke into it, guys, like I was in a space shuttle going down. But what I had put on the boat, like ha ha ha, I ripped off the top. I was like, and I cracked, and I literally stood there after I'd finished it and was like, not drunk enough. I cracked another one, and drank, and at the end of it, I sat down at the helm. And I thought, I know why sailors drink. and I also remembered why sailors smoked.
Don Brody, perfect timing. 3 minutes was exactly the time we were looking for. Fabulous story, middle, beginning, end, all that stuff. Ed Krasnick.
You are so, not since Huckleberry Finn and Deliverance have we seen the kind of majesty that you bring to the kingdom of the river. your details are fabulous. They're so interesting. You're very talented. I love listening to you tell stories.
Amy Efron,
you're a great storyteller. You like went there and then you lost us for a minute and you pulled us back and it was like unbelievable and you couldn't stop watching you and I'm glad you're here.
There you
and
go.
And you saved the lock.
Danny Zucker.
I'm a fan. River Daddy.
River Dance.
I just once want somebody to call me their River Daddy. No, you brought that around. You painted a picture. I was cold. I had chills. I felt like a Mississippi gambler. Like, the whole thing was great.
Great. All right, you guys, Don Brody, let her hand. Don Brody. Amazing. Great job. A perfect 3-minute story. That was fabulous. All right, John, you guys have the very difficult task of choosing a winner, put 1 minute on the clock. This winner will come back and play next month, February 29th, and tickets are already available from Lindsay in the box office. Another big round of applause for Julie at the bar. Julie! Bring it back! Jim Coughlin right here. You guys, this show will be available on the Storyworthy podcast in just a couple of weeks, so get over there to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast, and please subscribe, rate, review, and all that good stuff at Storyworthy. That's the podcast. I just celebrated my 600th episode. What is happening with Greg Proops last week? The amazing Greg Proops. If you hang head over to storyworthypodcast.com, you can find more information on that show. And here's the big news. I have a solo show coming up. What? And it is a Sunday, February 16th, and I'm going to pitch it to you guys right now. It's at the Lyric Hyperion Spirit Relay. It's a tight 1-hour show.
Judges need to come.
Okay, they are conferencing on the
phone.
Jim Coughlin, go ahead and pass out those flyers. Take a flyer. I'm naked on a motorcycle. You can't lose.
No, it's a win-win.
It's a win-win. Okay. What's the problem? This is very exciting, and this is also unprecedented. But our judges are they're having too difficult of a time to decide on a winner. So what they want to do is they want to have a spinoff. Is that okay?
A 1-minute spinoff.
A 1-minute story will be told from each of the contestants. Boy, that is unusual. Let's put their names back in this jar. So Dawn and Caroline, you guys get ready because you're going to be coming back up to spin the wheel and tell a true 1-minute story.
I have never seen this happen.
Danny, do you approve of what's going to happen?
I mean, I was aghast.
This is super exciting,
it's
you guys.
An outrage.
So come to my one-woman show. That's the first thing.
Yay.
Come to the goddamn solo show. I appreciate it. Yeah. And thank you, Rick. And right now, you guys, put your hands together for this unprecedented 1-minute spinoff. The first person to come to the stage is Don Brody. Wow, this is exciting.
We want to hear what the audience feels too. We want your reactions. You want everything because we can't decide.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Everyone has.
And this is where the real challenge begins.
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
So what are that? What would be that?
They're both great.
What do you guys want to hear?
First jobs.
Sledding. Having a baby. Having a baby.
Birth story.
Having a baby. Birthing story. Over
first
here.
First job.
What?
Where's baby?
Childhood.
Don Zucker.
What?
Don
Zucker. What?
Her story about
spin the wheel.
And a tattoo.
I want to hear about birthing.
Birthing, there you go. Baby. 1 minute on birthing, you guys. Give her a big round of applause. Yeah! Here she goes.
I don't recall my own birthing, so yeah. I'm going to go ahead and go with the birth of the daughter I had 18 months ago. Yeah, I figured that makes more sense. Thank you. I have a daughter. Her name is Beatrice Washington Melby. Remember that. She'll be running for president in 2038. And I had a vaginal birth. You're welcome. That was with my vagina, which goes... And the birth actually wasn't too bad. It was the aftermath, friends. She kind of did one of these on the way out, and at the end of the day, I had to have a hysterectomy. Bing, not funny. Anybody else have a hysterectomy? Okay. They are rather time-consuming. No period anymore, but I got the kind where I got to keep my ovaries, ding-dong, which means
I still have estrogen, so I didn't go tits first into menopause after having a baby. which I appreciate, thank you. But I do still drop an egg every 28 days, triggering PMS. I just don't know when it starts, how long it'll last, or when it ends.
Don Brody! Another perfect time. Look at that.
Holy moly.
Yeah, let's just go right to the next storyteller. Thank you so much, Don Brody. Let her hear it. All right, you guys, come to the stage right now for a true one-minute story. And again, this is unprecedented.
I mean, we haven't seen anything like this.
I'm super excited. You guys, put your hands together for Caroline Georges. Tell her what to do.
That wheel.
Okay, audience. She also lands on audience, which is super exciting.
Wow.
What do you guys want to hear about?
College. Again.
College.
Religion.
Perfect. What?
Stripping.
Haircut.
Getting locked out.
I think we're good. What do you
think? Yeah, no, I mean, I heard stripping, but I don't know.
Let's do it. Stripping, you guys. Big round of applause. Come on. Give a big round of applause.
That was your river.
1 minute.
So I am being a stripper. You run into like a lot of mental illness, you know. So not saying anything about myself. But, anyways, but no, there's this girl, and she's just like, I have a minute. So pimp can't read. That's this girl. Pimp. Cannot read. But anyways, never mind about that. She comes in one day and she's like, guys, I want to commit suicide. And we gather around her and we give her some hot cocoa and some cocaine to make her feel better. And we ask her why she wants to commit suicide. And she just tells us about how her pimp beat the shit out of her and how she can't read about how to help herself.
There you go. Okay. Well, we had a really good start and a great middle.
Yeah.
Super. What do you think?
No, we can't talk to you. We're like straight.
Oh, yeah.
I have so much to say on this. So much, but I can't say it.
That's right. We can't say it. Caroline Georges, let her hear you guys. Caroline Georges. Wow. This is very exciting and definitely unprecedented. Nobody has ever gone on to this sort of tie-breaking round. Let's give these guys 1 minute on the clock. You have 1 minute to make this happen. And I want to remind you guys to head over to Instagram and follow Story Smash at Story Smash.
Tell her we get out of a tie.
No, you know, no ties. No ties.
I said that.
Okay. Anyway, guys, head over to Instagram at Story Smash. That's where all of the pictures are from the show. And we really have some great photos. So please follow me over there at Story Smash. And also head over to StorySmashShow.com. That's a website. Again, a lot of pictures, a lot of activity. Did you know this is our 32nd show in a row? At the Hollywood Improv? Folks, that ain't nothing, man. In this town, it is very difficult to do, so we're super happy, and every month we seem to sell out. So thank you very much for coming out. And again, make sure you listen to this show on the Story Wording Podcast. I would so appreciate it. Thank you so much. The winner tonight of these incredible cookies, where are the cookies? Here they are. The winner tonight of the incredible cookies, Danny Zucker, let me hear it. Who is the winner of 2020, January 2020? Who's the winner?
I'm going to say, we have never, ever, in all my times doing this, had so much difficulty.
Wow.
Between the two.
Interesting.
Honestly, we really would have given it to them both. It was a...
I would have.
No, I know. Amy would have. I was like, fuck that. No, fuck you. And yeah. I'm like, no, Amy, where's this coming from?
That was the Riverdale. You're
talking shit about my mom. The whole thing was ugly.
I never met your mom.
No, I know. You would love it, though.
The winner of tonight's Story Smash, January 2020, is...
Don Brody.
Don Brody!